Today is the third sermon in the series for stewardship, which has the title, Give Freely and Wholeheartedly, which is a phrase that comes from the Old Testament. The sermon today is a sermon I preach in some format at least once a year. And today the sermon is entitled, The Sermon on the Amount. And because of that title, we'll need to pray just now. O God, prepare our hearts and minds for the reading and the hearing of your word this day and the proclamation of it. Nourish our minds in your truth and not ours. Open our hearts to your love and help us to surrender our will to your purposes, always remembering that as we do, that in this journey of life, you will supply us with everything we need. We need not fear. And it is in Jesus' name we pray and we trust always. Amen. Well, this morning we're talking about tithing, about our giving to God. Tithing is the biblical directive found again and again in the scriptures that God gives to his people about how we are to manage our time, our talents, and all of our resources. I hope as you drive home today or talk with friends that you will consider or think even by yourself about the question, how did you come to realize the importance of giving in your life, of tithing? I remember when I was 12 years of age and finished confirmation class, I was given a box of envelopes for my offering at the church. And those envelopes went on the dresser in my bedroom. And near all the trophies and things on my dresser, I always remembered the box of envelopes. And if I had been away for a few Sundays or had forgotten to take an envelope to put my offering in it, I would notice the dates on the envelope and see how behind I was. And I remember that even today, trying to catch up. We buy these boxes in bulk even today and provide them usually around the second Sunday of December toward the end of the year. They're out in the hallway. That's when you can get one if you want them. We used to buy them with the dates of the current year on them and realized that if we bought too many, they were no good because the dates change from one year to the next usually. And so now, like today, this one for today says the first Sunday of November. And the next one says the second Sunday and so on and so forth. And so we're very frugal and don't throw any of them away year to year. I remember in seminary going to church. And we were required to go to another tradition other than our own Presbyterian tradition and see what we could learn. And I remember one Sunday I went to an African Methodist Episcopal Church, an AME church, and I took note that when the offering was received by the ushers, the pastor went down to have the prayer with the ushers, and there were all the plates, and the pastor looked to the organist, and he said, John, play that song again. We're taking the offering again. There's not enough here for this week. I've always wanted to do that, Tom. And so today, no, we won't do that. But I did notice in that church when I went to the back looking at all the materials, again, studying them. It wasn't a tradition that was mine, and so my interest was piqued. And I noticed on a table it had a list of names, and by the names of the members in that church, every penny they had given in the last year was recorded from top to bottom, and it included the children. Can you imagine? In most Presbyterian churches like ours and in many traditions, giving is a private thing between you and God. And because the IRS requires us to do a statement for you, you receive a financial statement at the beginning of the year of your giving. And that comes from the bookkeeper who keeps a tight watch on that for you. I have always felt it's important for the pastors to be blind to the giving of a member, and so I am. I have never felt it was any of my business to know what people give. Now, not all pastors believe that, by the way. I have several pastors I met in conferences who felt that they needed to know, because they needed to know the spiritual health, and they always felt that the giving a person did to the church, that helped they could know about their spiritual health. I don't feel that way. I never have. It's a private matter between you and God. And God knows your attitude about your giving far better than I ever could. Paul went to another church in his seminary training, and in the church he attended, a different tradition than ours. It was a church that worshiped on a Saturday, and in that church, when the offering was called, the children ran to the back of the church, and there was a man, one man in particular, who handed all the children a $5 bill, and then they sprinted to the front to put the money in the offering baskets before the congregation gave. I thought that's an interesting thought. I don't know how you would ever replace a volunteer doing that. That would be a hard person to find. I remember when, as a child, a teenager, I used to have a little lawn service. I worked at a grocery store. I worked at a fast food restaurant. I often worked with my dad, who was a carpenter, and I was expected out of those earnings to take a percentage of that and put it in those pledge envelopes and give it to God. I remember when I earned a lot one year and the check from the IRS came back, as it does for young people. They get most of that back, and I thought I had a windfall, and my mother looked at me and she said, "You tithe from that as well." And so the importance of tithing was always a part of my life, always is now. But I read a study recently that said over 70% of all Christians currently in America, over 70% of all Christians in America do not know the principle of tithing that is found in the Bible. Some people even feel that the principle of tithing that is biblical is out of touch with modern times. I do not feel that way. I feel that the way in which we, the why we give and what we give to is very important. I believe it is relevant for today. How many of you would agree with me that the way we spend our time and money tells what's really important to us? How we spend our time and money tells what's important to us. Amen. It does. And so listen now as I read two short readings. The first is a rather odd reading. It is a negative reading about tithing that you'll hear. It's one that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Luke in the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 9. It's about the religious, self-righteous Pharisee and the cheating tax collector. Then he, that is Jesus, and this is the Living Bible translation, he, Jesus, told this story to some who boasted of their virtue and scorned everyone else. Two men went out to the temple to pray. One was a proud, self-righteous Pharisee, and the other a cheating tax collector. The proud Pharisee prayed this prayer, "Thank God I am not the sinner, a sinner like everyone else, especially like that tax collector over there. For I never cheat, I don't commit adultery, I go without food twice a week, and I give a tenth of God of everything I earn." But the corrupt tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed, but beat upon his chest in sorrow, exclaiming, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then Jesus summarizes in verse 14, "I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home forgiven. For the proud shall be humbled, and the humble shall be honored." We'll come back to that story at the end of the sermon, but it reminds me of the importance of our attitude and the sense of humility we all should have as we consider our giving to God and the importance of it. Note with me in 1 Corinthians 16:2, just one verse this morning, 1 Corinthians 16:2, as noted in your bulletin, the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, "On every Lord's Day, each of you should put aside something from what you have earned during the week and use it for the offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn." I could go on and read many passages in the Old Testament. There is ample evidence for the biblical tithe, that Scripture teaches this for all of God's followers to practice. In the Old Testament, it was Father Abraham. He's one of the two probably wealthiest people in the Old Testament. He's the Bill Gates of the Old Testament, if you will, he and Solomon. But Father Abraham, upon returning from battle, he was loaded down with the treasures of conquest, and he gave the priest of the Most High God, he gave the priest 1/10 of all that he had gained, because he was following God's directions for the tithe. He gave 1/10 of all that he had to God. If I had time this morning, I would go on and on with ample examples of the tithe in the Old Testament. But let's move to the Middle Ages. I look back in my notes and my files, and in a previous stewardship sermon, actually 350 Sundays ago, yes, I keep records, that's almost 7 years, I told you this story, a true story that took place in the Middle Ages. In the Middle Ages, if you did not pay your 1/10 to the church, then the sheriff of that town came out to get it from you. Your 10% to the church, the sheriff would call on you for it. As you know, this practice does not continue. Can you imagine in our day and time if the Clearwater Police pulled up in your driveway? Probably the first thing you're not going to think is, "I forgot to pay my pledge to the church." But imagine that happening in our day and time. Well, the Bible, it teaches about the importance of tithing, and it is important. And next Sunday, November the 10th, is Dedication Sunday in the life of this church. And all of us will have the opportunity at that time on Dedication Sunday to come forward next week and to touch the waters of baptism, to renew our baptism and our commitment to Jesus Christ. And if we are ready at that time, there will be a basket in the front, and you can place your pledge card in that basket at that time, or when you are ready to do so in the future, you can mail it into the church office, or you can give it any Sunday. But that's next week. And that's when all of us will have to deal with the amount we will dedicate to God for the year 2020. I never thought I'd live that long, 2020. But first, however, for today, I want to share very briefly and very quickly several principles about giving, this thing that's called tithing. For tithing, I can assure you, is more than simply a number. It's more than just 1/10. It's more than that. It's an attitude about living, and you'll see that from these points. The first of these points, the first principle to tithing, is the biblical principle of regularity. To tithe is to try to give frequently, regularly, either weekly or monthly, as often as you can. If we give regularly, you see, it takes the giving out of the realm of mood or feeling. The principle of giving regularly means that we just don't give to God when we feel like it, or when we're present in worship. I can tell you that over the years, the times that I have used the online giving have been some of the most blessed times of my life and that of my family's. It's a painless way to do it. It takes it out of the realm of emotion and giving when you're ready. Giving to God regularly also takes the pain out of giving. By giving regularly, we don't have to desperately try to catch up toward the year end when other expenses may be mounting. Well, the second principle of tithing, for setting aside a percentage of one's income for God's work, is that of proportionality. We are to give in proportion to how we have been blessed. It calls upon each one of us to ask ourselves the question, what percentage will I set aside that symbolizes all that I have comes from God? And so tithing, you see, involves giving regularly. It involves giving in proportion to how we have been blessed. And then thirdly is the principle of priority. To tithe is to set aside God's share first. You can read about this in Deuteronomy 14:23. Deuteronomy 14:23, that's noted in the bulletin, it says it this way: the purpose of tithing is to teach us to always put God first in our lives. The principle of tithing says we have to give the first 10% of everything we have back to God. And tithing then, you see, it becomes a constant reminder to put God first in all of our life. God comes first. Regularity, proportionality, priority. And fourthly is the principle of risk. When you take whatever percentage you'll take off the top, it is then that you begin to live by faith and with adventure. If you give 5%, can you live off the other 95%? If you give 85%, if you give 15%, it'd be great if you give 85%. If you give 15%, can you live off the other 85%? Oftentimes I hear from those who tithe and give to the church regularly, they say to me, "Pastor, I get back more than I give with interest every time." My only caution about that is that if tithing were a 100% guarantee that you always get back more than you give, then it would take all the adventure and all the risk out of giving. I believe we can trust God. I believe we can trust God to give us what we need when we need it, and that we will not starve if we increase our giving. But it may mean we have to give up something, perhaps, that we don't really need. And when you think about it, a gift to God that doesn't cause us to step out in faith and live adventurously, is it really a gift at all if we don't give and risk somewhat? The word tithe, it means 10. It literally does. And I'm very interested in the fact, as you should be, that Jesus talked a lot about money. He talked about money almost more than every other topic. And yet in the two times that he talks about the tithe, he uses it to point to the Pharisees' sense of self-righteousness, their poor attitude. The first occasion he used the word tithe is when he condemned the Pharisees who told others they tithed of their herb gardens. And they neglected, he said, the weightier matters of the law, like helping someone in need on the Sabbath. On the other occasion, he told this horrible example that I read from Luke of the Pharisee who was self-righteous, who stood at the temple and with great pride said, "I thank God I am not like this cheating tax collector. I give a tenth of all that I get." And Jesus used that parable to say that if you give 10%, you're just automatically righteous. He wanted to tell us that's the worst kind of moral blindness that there is. It's all about attitude. It's all about humbling ourselves and giving to God a percentage of all we've been given because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Well, this is the Sermon on the Mount. I offer it with some sort of title about once a year, this time of year. And the question in it is, what will be the amount that we set aside first for God's work through this church in the coming year? How much will it be that we set aside that symbolizes all that we have comes from God? I close with this. Many years ago, when I was the pastor of a small church in Alabama, after preaching a stewardship sermon, something like this, a couple that I knew well asked me if they could see me for a moment in my office when I finished shaking hands with people after the service. And I said, "Sure, I'll be happy to meet with you. I've got all the time in the world today." And so we got to my office and they sat down, and Sally, the wife, she had actually been on my search committee. I knew the couple very well. And as they sat down, the first thing she said, Chris, she said, we are so angered by your sermon today. And I looked at my watch and I said to Sally, Sally, I realize I don't have all the time in the world today at all. I've got to be somewhere else. And we laughed. But I said, why? And she said, well, you know, I call you about every couple of weeks, and I'm grateful for your prayers over the phone with us. You know, we can't get to church as often as we like. We are having trouble with our wooden crate business. And you know, it's about to go under, and we're doing all that we can to keep it afloat because we have employees that are dependent upon us and their families for income from what they earn in our company. And they said, we wish we could do more, but we can't. And I said to them, as I would say to any of you, in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, give as you have been blessed, and give joyously what you can. For God knows each one of us, and God takes our situations very seriously, and God understands. Some years later in another church, we had a member who was an elder in the church. He was also a professional sports agent. And after stewardship season, he came to me and he said, Chris, I have turned in my pledge card for the coming year, but this past week, I signed a contract for one of my professional baseball players, Gary Sheffield, and his contract is for $10 million. And I plan to give 10% of that through this church, not toward my pledge, but above and beyond that. And he said, I would like 10% to go to the St. Petersburg Free Clinic and the other 10% to go to CASA, the Center for Spousal Abuse. And I said to him, as I would say to any of you, in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, give as you have been blessed, and give joyously what you can. Let us pray. Oh God, all that we have comes from you. And so on every Lord's Day, may we put aside something from what we have and tithe it to glorify you for all you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Amen.